privilege that we're here this evening, and we're here to study God's Word and to look and see what God has to offer us through His Word. And I invite you to take your Bibles and follow along as we go through a lesson and we look at what the Word of God teaches us. We'll talk about a continuance of the sermon that I preached last Sunday evening. The title of the lesson is The Pathways of Life, Part 2. And we're going to look and see what the negative side of that was. We looked at the path of the righteous last Sunday night. We'll talk about the path that the wicked are going down. And we understand and realize that we as children of God have rejected that path. We know that we must not go down that road. And to do that is to leave every hope of eternal life behind us if we decide to go down the unrighteous path, the path of the wicked. The Pathways of Life, Part 2. In Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 26, here the Bible teaches us to ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. We talked about this last Sunday night, about the fact that we need to think about the path that we're on. Which way are we headed in? What direction is our life taking us? We understand that pathways lead somewhere, and that we must understand that God wants us to go to heaven and be with Him. He's not pushing us aside. He wants us to be with Him. And there is the path that we must take to choose that. But tonight, we're going to talk about the other side of the coin. The side of the coin that talks about the path that the wicked are on. And the path of the wicked, as Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 14 tells us, is the enter. It says, enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. And what the proverb writer is telling us is, don't go down that path. Don't walk with them. Don't go the same direction that wicked people are following today. Because if we follow that way, we have lost everything. You know, he tells us, don't go in the way of evil men. He's talking about the influence they can have on us as we're walking that path with them together. And that is one of the things that God tells us. He warns us with His wisdom, do not go in this way. And we talked about last week also about the path. We mentioned Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. That's where this is from, verse 13. He says, enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Now this is the two ways. He mentions the narrow path, which is the path the righteous were on. We looked at that last Sunday night. We saw that that's the right way. That's the narrow road that few people are really taking that road. But there is the broad road that leads to destruction. And that leads to a life that we would not want to go. It leads to an end that we would not want to see. Understand what destruction means. Thayer defines it as the loss of a life of blessedness, future misery, future suffering. Destruction there is not talking about annihilation. It's talking about the fact that when we go there, there's a place, a lake of fire, as Jesus referred to it, as prepared for the devil and his angels. That's the road that goes to hell. Remember the song back a few years ago that AC/DC had? They had a song, The Highway to Hell. And truly, what they were singing about was going to a place that no one should ever want to go. You know, our young people shouldn't sing that song. Because if we think very seriously and soberly about what we'd be singing, is the fact we'd be wanting to go where the devil is, the fire. The Jesus said the fire is, the worm dieth not and the fire does not quench. And so we understand that's not a place where we want to go. That's the path, though, that the wicked goes down. We're going to look at characteristics of that. Characteristics of the path of the wicked. Next slide, please. One characteristic of this is that it is the way that is hard. Understand that we realize that the path of the righteous is also hard. But also the path of the wicked has consequences. That's why it's made hard. Proverbs 13:15 tells us, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Many times, people who do wicked things, they live to suffer. It's like they're beating themselves, beating their head against the wall many times because of the consequences that sin involves. There's a lot of things that the righteous don't have to worry about. But those who are transgressors, they do have to worry about a lot of consequences. That's why it's made hard. And I believe that's one of the reasons why, that if we go down that path, we'll have to fight everything that's good, everything that's right and noble, to go and proceed down that pathway. And the way that's hard, because we'd really ought to make the good choice and realize that it'd be a lot easier to serve God, even though it's made difficult by wicked men. We talked about that last Sunday night, the fact that the way of the righteous is made hard because of evildoers. But yet the fact that the way that the wicked are traveling, it's hard as well, because God is trying to, like Saul of Tarsus, who was kicking against the pricks that God had, for Jesus was telling him, it was hard for him to do that. Many times people will live a life of drunkenness, and they'll suffer for that, the consequences, and they'll have their bodies torn by all the disease, the ravage of sin. There's many people who have to suffer because of drug use and their bodies wearing out. It is hard to live a sinful life. It is something God lets us know that if you persist in this, it is not good for us physically, neither is it spiritually. And so much so that the Bible tells us it's not a path that we want to take. But also, the path of the wicked is the way that is false. Many times the Bible tells us there is the right way to do something, the right course of action in many ways, and then there is the false ways. We talk there's many false ways. In Psalms 119, verse 128, here David says, "Therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way." And that tells us our attitude as children of God ought to be that we do not like the things that are false, that we even hate those things, that we stay away from those things because we have a righteous indignation for the truth. We have a right attitude toward truth. And that we should not even dislike a little bit the things that are false. But yet those who are on the wicked way, they like that. They revel in the things that are false, it seems, at times. Their attitude is running to those things rather than running away from those things. You and I, as children of God, we have to run to God. And that means hating every false way, learning what God teaches in His Word to be right, and living for that way. And all that is true and proper and right that we do that. But the way of those who follow the wicked, they know many times, deep down inside, that they are not following that which is good, that which is right. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, Peter tells us about these men who were teaching false things. He said, "But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be." Notice that there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies. Now what is Paul referring to here? He's talking about things that are not true. These are heresies. These are alternate truths to some people. And they are false doctrine, false teachings. And he gives one of these such. He gives an example, says, "Even denying the Lord that bought them and bring upon themselves swift destruction." And as like I said, that's the end of false teaching. We're going to look and see just a few moments about where that leads us. If we follow something that's false, we don't expect to follow the truth. The truth is the only thing that leads us to eternal life. We follow Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and life. That's the only way to have eternal life. But yet, what if we follow something that's false? And verse 2 talks about those who do follow such things that are false. The Bible says, "And many," notice that "many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of." Many times we are maligned and belittled because of the way of truth. And that is the way the world works. Those who are false, they cannot defeat truth with error, so they get to where they are maligning the truth. They start to belittle and mock and even prejudicially say things that are simply not true about those who do the truth. And that's the way that's false, though. We could put all false teachers into this blanket of those who are leading those in the wrong direction. In Matthew chapter 15, verse 14, Jesus speaks about here about those who are blind leaders. And he was referring to those Pharisees, those Jews who were leading those down the tradition of the elders, traditions that they had, man-made traditions. And that is the same true today. We have many are blindly following blind teachings. And one of the problems is because we're not they're not studying the truth. They're not following the Bible and learning what the Bible really teaches. They're following blind leaders who say what the Bible teaches. And that's one of the dangerous things of ignorance, of really not studying for ourselves. We've got to be a people of the book and stand for what the book says, the Word of God, what it says. But Jesus says, let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. And this refers to the path of those who follow the false teachers. Did you know that there is an end that's not good for those, even if they're blindly following the leaders that are blind? We cannot say, well, I was doing this blindly. Lord, let me go into heaven. What they realize is if they blindly follow this without studying for themselves like the Bereans did, the noble Bereans searched the scriptures daily to see where those things were so. But the blind followers are such, they do not see the truth, just as those who are the leaders. And we see this time after time on TV. You hear them on the radio, those who tell and speak things. They have good words and fair speeches. And that's how they captivate an audience, by their charisma, by their charm. It's all leading someone to a place that's not good. The Bible says they both fall into the ditch. There's the end of where both go, is in the ditch, as Jesus would tell us. But then also the path of the wicked is this. It is the path of darkness. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 19 tells us, the way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. And I think about this. I'm always reminded when I think about this verse of what Brother Marshall Keeble said a long time ago about human philosophy, human psychology, and the wisdom of this world, and how he pictured it as this. He says, like a blind man in a dark cellar looking for a black cat that wasn't even there, doesn't exist. And so that's the same thing about the philosophies of human wisdom today. Is the path of darkness, in the sense there's no true light in that kind of wisdom. You know, we could talk about moral darkness as well. Moral darkness is how what this country is going in that direction in, where we see those of a more liberal in their theology a lot of times, and more liberal in their way of doing things. All of this is on the path of darkness. They know not at what they stumble. In Job chapter 24 and verse 13, the Bible says, they are those that rebel against the light. They know not the paths thereof, nor abide in the paths thereof. And that tells us again, those who fight the truth, those who argue, and they will fight you tooth and nail over moral issues. And they really knowing that people sometimes say, well, what's wrong with abortion? What's wrong with the killing of the innocent baby? Under any circumstance. And some will tell you what's wrong with this and what's wrong with that. And when you point them to what the Word of God says, they sometimes will laugh. Well, that's an outdated book. That's an old, outmolded book. But they reject what the true light teaches, even light for today. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalms 119 that the entrance of thy word is light, giving light to the simple. And we understand God's word can give us light. It gives us the truth how to mold and shape our lives to serve God and to be His people. And so we're not walking the paths of darkness, rather, but walking the light of Jesus, His Word, guiding every step that we walk. It's sad to walk in darkness and have to say that, you know, we don't want to do anything else but live in the dark about what truth really is. There's some that don't want to hear the truth because they want to rather stay in darkness. Like what Jesus said in John chapter 3 about those who love darkness will not come to the light, lest their deeds be reproved. And realize we have to come up to what God says in His Word. But then there is also the path of the greedy. In Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to read verses 10 down to verse 19. Because here, the Proverb writer tells us here. It says in verse 10 of Proverbs chapter 1, my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Here's wisdom. Here's what God tells you about how to have a better life. He says, "By son of sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, come with us, let us wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave, and whole as those that go down into the pit. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. My son, walk not thou in the way with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. For their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy for of gain, which taketh away the life of the owners thereof." That last verse, verse 19, sums up what we're talking about. Those who just want material things, they want to be greedy about what this life has to offer. And there have been people, the motivations for a lot of the things that's done in the world today, the sinful things, thievery and burglary and robbing of banks, all that is the path of the greedy. Those who want things, whenever gangs of young teenagers get together, and they start to do things they shouldn't do. Sell drugs and do things in ways and rob and beat people. All that is because they're greedy for gain. Even today, those words that the proverb writer tells us is still true today. The path of the greedy is not one we want to start out on. Because when we do, it is one of those things we have to turn away from if we want to see life. But then there is the perverted way. That is truly one of the characteristics of this path of the wicked. There is a perversion of what God calls true and noble and right. In Acts chapter 13, Jesus was talking to someone who was trying to pervert what the truth was. He was trying to persuade someone from not obeying the truth in Acts 13. And here Paul was rebuking this one. He said, "O fool of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil," speaking to Bar-Jesus, "thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" There are times people simply want to change. And we have heard a lot about people who want to change the church, change this, change doctrines and things like that. Why do we want to change things when God has a perfect law of liberty? All we can do is mess up what's perfect. You know, we cannot change and alter any one bit the way that God has for us to live through His Word. In Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 5, here the Bible speaks about those Israelites that had corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of His children. They are a perverse and crooked generation. And he refers to that whole group of people there, and he refers to them having a mindset. You know, we can have a mindset that we simply want to be contrary to what the truth teaches. And want to change things, like we mentioned, about those who want to change. But there is that perverse and crooked to make things that are straight and to simply change it to where it's crooked. But God says that's not the right way to follow Him. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, here the Bible says, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." Why is there a woe there? Why is God is warning us, don't be this way? Because many today are like this. Just like Israel back then, when they were saying things that were evil was good. How much more so today? We know that homosexuality is wrong. We know that those things that people are wanting a perverted lifestyle is wrong today. It's wrong as wrong can be. But there are some calling that good today. It's good for two men and two women to get together in a union called marriage. But it is not what God calls marriage. God calls it a perversion. He called those Sodomites. That's why He destroyed the city of Sodom and Gomorrah back in Genesis chapter 19. Because it was a perversion of what God's true plan for man to be. And so we understand that whenever we change what God calls perfect, we can only make it imperfect for us to follow. And that's not the true guide for us to follow. God has His Word through His Word. We must not add to or take away or alter in any way what God has for us to follow. But then there is the way of apostasy. And I believe this is probably one of the saddest ways of the wicked. It's the fact that someone was once on the right path. They were following the right path, but then for some reason, some motivation, they stopped going down that right path. And they started going other paths. The path of apostasy. The word apostasy means a leaving, a falling away. And that is the fact that whenever someone stops obeying the truth, you know, you can stop obeying the truth. You can, and a child of God can fall away from his faithfulness. And that's why we must not fall away from our faithfulness. In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 13, here's wisdom again telling us about those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in ways of darkness. We mentioned already about that dark path. It's not the way we should go. And here Solomon, the writer, tells us here about those who can leave. You know, you can leave. If you want to leave God, you can. God's not going to make you serve Him. But what that is when we do that and become unfaithful, we give up our eternal reward, our inheritance. Next slide. In Proverbs chapter 4, verse 27. And here is a warning again that we're not to, and when God warns us not to do something, be sure that you can do what God says you shouldn't do. Here in Proverbs 4, verse 27, the Bible says, "Turn not to the right hand nor to the left, remove thy foot from evil." In other words, you go down the straight and narrow course. You go right the way God wants you to go. You don't go this way or the other way. You stay firmly and firmly planted on what God's Word teaches us. When we do that, we're not on the road of apostasy. But there are some, sadly, who do lead this. And I could tell you about those friends of mine, even preachers, who have left the path of righteousness to go on to another way. They have gone in the path of apostasy. One preacher who was very zealous at one time, now he's back into the church that he left in order to become a member of the Church of Christ. He went back to because of motivations. There are motivations for people going back away from the truth. He did not want to stay with the truth. Therefore, he's in the way of apostasy. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 32, here again it tells us, "Ye shall observe to do therefore as the Lord your God hath commanded you." That's what we know is right. When God commands it, it's right for us to follow it. He said, "Ye shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left." The reason I put that verse on is, that's how we know not to go to the left or the right. God's commandments keep us firmly where we need to be and out of the way of apostasy. In Exodus chapter 32, verse 8, we find the signs of the first time when the Israelites, after they received the Ten Commandments, Moses was bringing them out of the mountain of Mount Sinai. And here the Bible says, Exodus 32, verse 8, "They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf." They got themselves in trouble very early. And leaving the Egypt and going to the Promised Land, they were very early found themselves making a golden calf. Aaron said these people made it. They simply just put it in the fire and out came a golden calf. That wasn't what happened though. They purposely made that golden calf. And that's because Aaron wasn't the leader he should have been. He should have stood up to them and said, "No, we're not going down the road of apostasy. We're not leaving what God has commanded us to do." He says they made him a golden calf and have worshipped it and have sacrificed thereunto and said, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." All of that's because someone or groups of people wanted to do something that wasn't right. You know, we can persuade people if we are strong enough a leader to not do those things, not go down that path. And I believe God warns us by things that happened in the past that were written for us to learn about these things. These lessons for us not to go down the same road of apostasy. In 2 Peter 2, verse 15, he speaks about some who have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Balaam was one of this, who was a servant of God at one time. But he let money and the influence of riches and material gain cause him to want to go with those men to curse the children of Israel. And something God did not want him to do. God spared him by the donkey telling him that the angel of the Lord was about to slay him. We understand that was something Balaam should not have ever desired to want to do. Is to even go with those men. Try to curse the people of Israel. But he loved the wages of unrighteousness. And that's what causes the love of money is the root of all evils, as Paul says. And it causes a lot of people to err from the faith, to pierce themselves through with many sorrows. That's what happens when we love material things more than we love the truth and God's word. 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, a very famous passage about one man who left Paul. He forsook Paul, but he also forsook the Lord in so doing. Here in 2 Timothy 4, verse 10, the Bible says, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." You know, Paul gave the reason why Demas left him. Why it was that he wasn't like John Mark, who left for a time and went with Barnabas. Barnabas took him. He wasn't like that. Demas was one who loved this present world more than he loved being a fellow servant, a fellow preacher with Paul. You know, I think about those who preach the gospel. How much we would like to have gone with Paul and be a minister with him. And realize that was a privilege. That was something that was an awesome, tremendous opportunity. I wonder what I would give anything to go back in time myself and be there and say, you know, I want to go with you, Paul. I know all the adversity. We read about all the things, the persecutions that Paul faced. I'm sure that weighed heavily on Demas' mind at times. His sufferings that Paul went through to preach the gospel. But what about this? Paul considered it light affliction. It was worth the price to him to preach the gospel. For Demas, though, he loved this present world more than he loved his service with Paul. In James chapter 5, 19 and 20, the Bible speaks about, though, that even though we can be on the way of apostasy, we can change that, though. While there is life and breath within our bodies, while there's time and opportunity for us to change, we need to take that way. If we're unfaithful tonight, if someone in the audience tonight is unfaithful, here in James chapter 19, or chapter 5, verses 19 and 20, there is hope for those who are on this way of apostasy. Here the Bible says in verse 19, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth," he's speaking to even us today. You know, the Bible's relevant for all of us today. He's saying, "Brethren, if any of you err from the truth," that's even in 2012, "and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." And that speaks about the fact that you can convert someone. You can bring them back to the truth. I know this. I've seen some who have come back. And I know of one right before we left come back here to Mississippi who was one who did come back, who previously was unfaithful. Whenever the elders or preachers come to talk to you about your soul, listen to them, because they're concerned about your soul. They want to see you go to heaven. They're not there to bother and pester you about coming to church. They want to see you saved, be a part of the church, worship God, and live for Jesus so we can be saved. Get off the road of apostasy in order to please Christ and please God. And finally, the way of the wicked is this. It's the way that leads to death. You know, I listened to Brother Zachariah Smith's sermon about the way of the cross leads home. And that's true. The way of the cross, the way that we follow Christ, leads home. That's heaven. But what about the way that leads to death? The path of the wicked is not a road we want to go down to. Because the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And that speaks to you and I today. There are ways that seem right. It seems right to do things in the world and live your life the way you want to. It's not the way you want to travel and meet the Lord in the judgment day. The way of the cross is the only way that leads to home and eternal life. Romans 6 and verse 23. Here Paul says again, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You know what the wages is referring to here? What you're working toward. Everything you're pursuing. Everything, the course that you're traveling. There's something at the end of that road. Just like we work for a paycheck. At the end of the week or end of the month or end of the 2 weeks, we receive what we've earned. He tells us if we follow sin and death, if we follow sin, it leads to death. And there is the second death. Last verse of the lesson, and the lesson is yours. In Revelation 21 and verse 8, here the Bible tells us, but the fearful and unbelieving and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and the sorcerers and idolaters and all liars. He's referring to sinful people here. Those who love and practice sin. He says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And that's the eternal death. You know, it's bad. People fear the physical death. But you know, the child of God only has to die once. The one who's living a life that's going down the path of the wicked. There's the physical death and the spiritual death. There is that lake of fire the Bible refers to as hell fire. And that's somewhere we do not want to go. I'm not trying to scare someone, but sometimes we need to persuade. Knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade. I want to persuade you, do not go down that path. Because that path leads to eternal death. Don't be separated from God for all eternity. Don't let the devil cheat and rob you of your eternal life. If you're on that way of apostasy tonight, if you're on that way of living your way and not God's way, why don't you come and make things right this evening? Why don't you come but start out on the road of life? Or if you have started and you become unfaithful, the Bible says there's a plan for you, that you need to repent and pray God, that perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. And ask for the prayers of the church. If it's a private thing, keep it private with you and the Lord. But if it's a public thing, you've made a wreck of your life and people know about it in the world, and you need to make a confession, you need to make that right. Others confess your faults one to another and pray ye one for another, as James tells us. And that's something we can do. We're here for you. We want you to be saved. We are the ones who follow Christ, and we know it's the road that we're following is not easy. But one thing we can do is anytime when we fall down, we can pick ourselves back up and begin the race again. Someone here tonight needs to obey the gospel. By faith in Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and reward of them that diligently seek Him. We must repent of all of our sins. Repentance is a command of God, Acts 17, verse 30, that we must turn away from. Repent means to turn in the other direction. We've been talking about the pathways of life. That's what we need to do, is to repent. If you're on that road of wickedness, tonight is the night you need to make that change. Repent. But if you've not obeyed the gospel, repentance is also in the plan as well. You need to confess Christ to be the Son of God, Romans 10, verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And to be immersed in water, be baptized in water for the very forgiveness of your sins. There's where the blood of Christ can take away every sin you've ever committed. That's the only way, the only remedy God has is His blood of His Son, who died on the Roman cross for our sins. If you're here this evening, we can help you in any way in coming back to the Lord and being faithful. Why don't you make it known tonight? As together we stand and we sing the song of invitation.